Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church, where we lead people to ride for Christ. We are excited for you to hear this message, and we hope it blesses your life.
We are so excited that our friend Chuck Swisher is here this morning. If you guys were at the rodeo, you saw him. He's a professional bullfighter. And yes, he is dear to our heart here at Thousand Hills Ranch Church, and we are honored to have him. And so give Chuck another hand as he comes up and delivers a message.
Good morning. Can you hear me? How's everyone doing today? First off, I am a Christian. That gets to fight bulls for a living. A lot of people mistake it. I've actually mistaken it for the last 12 years that I'm a bullfighter. You know, it's an awesome job, but I'm actually a Christian that gets to fight bulls. And so, with that being said, I pray that whatever your profession is, whatever you guys do, that you guys are a Christian first. It doesn't matter if you're a school teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a rodeo guy, a rancher, a truck salesman, whatever it may be. I pray that you are a Christian first. Because that's what the kingdom needs. The kingdom needs teachers, bus drivers, salesmen, cattlemen, because that's your ministry. Because you're going to be able to touch so many more people than what Pastor Bo will be able to touch. Because Pastor Bo doesn't have your ministry. Pastor Bo has his ministry. So Pastor Bo isn't a school teacher. Pastor Bo isn't a truck salesman. So you have to realize that you are your own ministry in a certain way. And I'm not even sure why I said any of that, because that has nothing to do with anything what I'm going to talk about. But first off, thank you guys for having me. Pastor Heather, Pastor Bo, thank you guys so much for giving me the opportunity to come and speak to your church. I'm not going to take it lightly. I truly appreciate it, and I'm honored to be here today. Second off, let's pray. I just got really nervous for some reason. God, we thank you so much. We praise you, God. We thank you for just letting us show up, letting us worship you. God, we thank you for letting us pray to you. And Father God, I pray that as we get into the word today, you show up in our lives, God. You show up more today than we've seen you in the past, Father God. I pray that you be with Pastor Bo. God, I pray healing in the name of Jesus over him. God, I pray that you just anoint him. I pray that you heal his back so he is in no more pain, that he gets to go next week on his family vacation and he is pain-free, and he is not happy because he's on drugs, but he's happy because he gets to be in your presence with his family, Lord. I pray you be with this church. I pray you be with the new building that they are building. God, I pray you be with the funds that are coming in, and I pray that you just deliver and you just come through with all of that, God. We know you can do it. We know what you can do, God. We know you can do far more than what we think you can do. Father God, we pray that the people here today, their hearts are softened, their ears are opened, and they are ready to hear your word. And God, I pray you use me as a vessel, not for Chuck, but for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So my message today is called, Whose Life Is It Anyway? And they did this really awesome picture. And saying on that, I want to ask you guys, whose life are you living? Whose life are you living? Think on that throughout the rest of this sermon. So a few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go on a trip of a lifetime with the Cave Time Ministry out of Tulsa. And I wasn't exactly sure what was going to happen on the trip, but I knew God was up to something. And just as it says in Deuteronomy 1:30, I think she's going to pop it up. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf. And for us, God was definitely doing something. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew he was up to something. So we got to go to Ireland. I think we were in Ireland for 4 or 5 days. one of the most beautiful places ever. Small island. We actually got to meet a pastor there who has a church in a boxing ring. So on Saturday nights, they have boxing matches. On Sunday, the preacher is actually standing in blood from the night before from the fights, speaking the word of God to a lot of people in Ireland. And talk about, like, just for me, I'm kind of an adrenaline junkie. Obviously, you've seen what I do. To be able to step in foot into a boxing ring, like, I was like, all right, let's fight somebody, you know, let's do something crazy. But then I was thinking, I was like, man, how awesome is this that this guy gets to speak from this boxing ring? Just because, like I said earlier, his ministry is going to touch so many more people than my ministry will touch, because I'm not a boxer. I don't really like getting hit. Honestly, I don't even like punching people. So that's why I don't even fight people. But anyways, his ministry is going to be able to touch so many more people, because they're going to say, oh, what's this boxing ring deal? Let's go look at it. Then they walk in and God gets to hit them. So it was such an amazing time in Ireland. Then we flew straight to Johannesburg, South Africa. We were in South Africa for maybe 10 or 12 days. I'm not exactly sure. But the last day in Ireland, the executive director that was with us from the ministry, he said, take advantage of Ireland, because we're going to South Africa. You know, obviously, when you think of South Africa, you think of huts and poor people and poverty and everything bad and negative. And when we got there, I got convicted, because I was like, all right, we're going to South Africa. This is going to kind of suck. We're going to be eating rice and beans, and we're going to have zero electricity, zero cell service. We probably won't even have running water. I guess we're going to fast for a week. I'm not exactly sure how this is going to work. But being a third world country, we didn't know what we were getting into. But once we got there, seriously, the most beautiful place I've probably ever been to, the nicest people I've ever met. And I don't know if it was, I don't know why they were so nice, if it was because they didn't have much, but for them not having much, they still gave more than what we give. And I have a feeling that's going to convict somebody, because they didn't have much at all, but still, they were the nicest people I've ever met. They were so nice that probably 4 or 5 hours in, I sent a message home to my fiance saying, hey, we're not doing it right. We got to step our game up. These people have so much less than we do, but still they're continuing to pour more out. And it didn't matter what they did or didn't have, but what they gave was their time and their love. You know, it doesn't matter how much money we have. We can just fork out money. Here you go, Pastor Bo. Here's however much money for the church. But if you truly give your time and your love, that's going to affect more than what your money will. And your time is worth way more than money. It's worth way more. Ask Pastor Heather, ask Pastor Bo. Because this church needs help, just like my church back home in Kingfisher, Lifeway Church. It needs help. Every church needs help. But we can't just rally around the 4 or 5 people in our church. It's going to take you guys, the church, to come in and help. And I don't know what that may be. That may be volunteering on the weekends. I don't know if you guys do outreach deals or what it may be. Or volunteering at church, being a door greeter, being in the worship team, being in the tech team, being in the prayer team, intercessory, whatever it may be, your guys' time is worth so much more than just your tithe or your 10%. I'm not saying don't tithe and give your time. I'm saying tithe and give your time. Because once you start not just tithing, but you start tithing your time, see what God does in that. If you can give 10% of your money to God, give 10% of your money, and then 10% of your time each day to God, see how God works through you that way. We get to South Africa, and the first place we go is a place called, I'm going to butcher the name of it, but it's Potchefstroom. We call it Potch for short, or they told us to call it Potch for short. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. We show up to a church service that night at a university, and there's probably 600 or 700 college students there that evening. And, oh, wow, talk about amazing, amazing worship. These kids are crazy on fire for God. I think the worship team played 4 or 5 songs, and as the worship was coming to an end, the campus pastor steps up, and without any of there's 4 of us Americans that went over, without any of us Americans saying a word, the campus pastor gave an altar call right after worship. 8 young men step up and give their life to the Lord just right immediately after worship. And it wasn't because the Americans were there. It wasn't because I was there. It wasn't because anything we did. It was because God was there. And to me, it was funny because I was like, well, the work's done. Like, let's just go home. You know, we don't need to do anything anymore, you know? So I was like, well, yeah, that's fine. Let's just go back to the room. But no, we still ended up getting to speak. We still ended up getting to kindle fire and speaking to the rest of them. And I think in the 8 to 10 days we were there, we spoke 16 times at 16 different churches and 16 different venues. And the first few days, about 8 or 9 services, we finally got a day off. We got a break. And when you're in South Africa, what do you think of? I think of lions eating zebras. So for me, that's what I want to do. I want to go see a lion eat a zebra. But we didn't get to actually see a lion eat a zebra, but we got to see zebras and lions not eating each other. We got to see rhinos, giraffes out in the safari, tigers. Alligators. No alligators. There was literally every kind of animal. There was 20 plus species of deer. They had the big game ranches around here. They had the big game fences, and they said there's one typical deer in here that is 12 million ren. It costs them 12 million ren, which is 12-to-1 ratio, so it's $1 million American for one of these deer. And they said this deer, what sucks about him, he jumps 23 foot in the air. So every now and then, the fences are 15 foot tall, just like a regular game fence. Every now and then, they'd be driving down the road, and here's this $1 million deer just running down the side roads. And I'm like, why would you guys even buy something like that? You know, that's crazy. But we got to hold baby tigers. Talk about, like, fascinating. Got to hang out with a full-grown cheetah. Talk about scary now. Like, this cheetah's, it's a big cat. You know how cats purr? So it was laying there the whole time, and they said, you just got to keep it busy. You got to keep it busy, or it's going to play. And it was so crazy because the trainer of the cheetah actually, he keeps the cheetah in his house. He sleeps in bed with it just like a regular cat. And there was actually another family with us. They had a little boy and a little girl, probably the ages of your kids. And the little girl was playing with a stick or something, and the cheetah seen her from across the way and comes sprinting at her. And for me, being a bullfighter, you know, like, all right, here's Chuck, I'm going to step in. No, I was way too scared to even do anything. So here comes a cheetah, and the little girl's behind me, and I'm like, I didn't really do that, but I didn't actually save her, so. But the cheetah didn't attack her or anything like that, which would have been very scary. But anyways, getting off the subject. But as we're at this safari, or this big, it's what I would call a glorified game ranch, you know. As we're at this place, this game lodge, we kept asking ourselves, whose life are we living? Like, this doesn't seem real. We're literally having lunch with rhinos. Literally, there's 4 or 5 rhinos and a little baby rhino down the way. And, like, you look at them and you're like, man, those aren't real. Like, they just look like the movie ones, you know. They're fake looking. You could see a giraffe's head like a mile away over some trees way down the way. You see zebras running. And the whole time we're like, whose life are we living? Whose life is this? Because for me to think back even a month before the trip, to think about going to South Africa or Ireland, I was like, yeah, that's a fun thought, but it would never actually happen. But to actually be in that position where we were living it, that was truly amazing, because every day we'd wake up feeling like, all right, you know, tomorrow I'm gonna wake up, I'm gonna be back in Dover saying, wow, that was a crazy dream. But God was working stuff out. It just continues to get crazier and crazier. You know, we had the opportunity to meet so many amazing people, people who are willing to give their lives, not like we say, like, I'm going to give my life to the Lord, but they're literally willing to die for Jesus, willing to actually give their life for God. We got to speak at so many amazing churches. One story, the day after our day off at the safari, the whole time we wanted to hear a lion roar, you know, because we're men, as we wanted to hear a lion roar. So we actually got to stay out in the bush, is what they call it. So they have the big, nice hotel right there when you first get in, but out in the bush, they've got these little cabins that's like 5 miles out in the safari. And as you're walking into the gate, there's a picture of a cobra, and it says, watch where you step. And I'm like, let's go back to the non-snake place. But we got to stay out in the bush, and the next morning we had a meeting with 1,000 men. And it was at 6 a.m., so we had to be up at 4:30 in the morning to drive back from the bush to the game lodge so our buddy that was an hour away could meet us in time, so he could pick us up at 4:45 so we could get back to the place at 5:45. And we come out of our camp, or whatever you would call it, and we're waiting on our safari guide to come pick us up, and he's late. He's probably 15, 20 minutes late, so we're waiting, you know, we're like, all right, where's he at? You know, when's he going to show up? And he finally shows up, and of course, South Africa, it's their winter time, which is like a beautiful Oklahoma day, but in the mornings, it's actually kind of chilly. It's probably 50 degrees or so, and he pulls up at probably 4:45 or 5 in the morning with like an actual safari truck, like a big, huge four-wheel drive, looks like a bus with open roof and open sides. And here, we're tourists for sure. We've got all of our suitcases standing out in the bush, and here he is. And I'm like, this is going to be a cold drive back. So we ended up getting back without freezing too bad. And the guy that was supposed to come pick us up from town, he was nowhere to be seen. And here we are, it's probably 5:20, 5:15. And we knew it was an hour drive back, and we're like, there's no way we're making this. And the next thing we hear, and it's pitch black, there's nobody around but the four of us and our driver. I think he dropped us off and he probably went straight back to bed. And all of a sudden we hear a whoa. I can't do a lion roar very good. I'm sorry. God forgive me. We hear this huge roar, this huge lion roar. And here we are, we're like, yes, that was so awesome. And then I was like, wait. It's dark. We can't see anything. And there's a lion somewhere. And just because they have these lions in the ranch doesn't mean they're tame. So at that moment, I was like, all right, now, there is four of us. Remember, there's two older guys and another guy about my age. And I'm like, all right, I know I can outrun you two. I know I can't outrun the lion, but I know I can outrun you two, and that's all that matters. I just got to outrun someone else in the pack. But right after the lion roars, we hear a screech and see some lights, and our buddy, he's sliding sideways in this huge van and finally picks us up, and he said, guys, jump in, we're late. And at this time, it was 5:30, and it was an hour drive back to Clarksdorp is where we're speaking to the 1,000 men at 6. And needless to say, I've never driven that fast in such a big vehicle in my life. It was kind of like a Sprinter van with all the rows of seats, this just big, huge van, and we were going like 180 kilometers an hour. And I think that translates to like 120 miles per hour. So we drove 120 miles per hour in this huge van for 30 minutes straight. Needless to say, we cut the trip in half. We made it. And it was so crazy because we've never met the preacher of the church that we're going to speak at. But as we're walking in, you know, some churches have the countdown clocks. As we're walking in, it was 126, 125, 124. I was like, wow, we barely made that. And it worked, and we got to speak to 1,000 men. It was so cool to see a church where 1,000 men come together every Friday morning at 6 a.m., and they constantly show up, I talk about giving your time to God. And as all this was happening, I was like, man, this is doesn't seem real. You know, like we just drove 120 miles an hour for 30 minutes straight. Like I've probably driven 100 miles per hour, but it was like got up to 100, then I'm like, all right, I'm scared, so I'm going to go back down to 60. But we literally drove 120 miles an hour for 30 minutes straight, and then we got to speak to these amazing people, and we got to connect with the pastor of the church, and he wants our ministry back. And so much stuff God lined up happened, and I'm like, this isn't real. Like, how does this work? Like, this doesn't happen in America. This isn't real. So I kept telling myself, whose life is this? Whose life am I living? No, because this isn't my life. I was here today at 9 a.m. because I didn't want to be late. And, yeah, it was just so crazy. God just continues to show up, The last weekend we were there, we got to do a cave time conference. And it was about 100, 150 men showed up. And the pastor that put it together, he got up and spoke, and he mentioned what we've been talking about, like, whose life are we living, you know? Like, this doesn't seem real. And he said, he said that to probably about a group of 100 men, and he said it wasn't our life because we gave our lives to God. We were living for him. So in Philippians 1:21, for to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. And actually, Philippians 1:22 says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ, so I really don't know which is better. So going back to what I said at the beginning, if you're living, it should be God first. You should be a Christian first, and then you should be how you make your living after that. Because like it says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ if I'm living. So this whole trip, like I was saying it, to go back 6 months thinking about it, I never would have imagined getting to go to South Africa or Ireland, but this whole trip was kind of a wink from God to me. He says, Chuck, you know, I've seen what you've been doing. Not talking about, Chuck, what you've been doing in the arena or what you're doing on Facebook or Instagram or in front of your buddies at church. Chuck, I've seen what you've been doing at home, behind closed doors. He said, you've been showing up. You've been worshiping. You've been praying, you've been getting into the Word, and you've been being in community. And that wink of God was just like a breath of fresh air for me, because it was just so crazy. Like it's hard for me to explain it because it still doesn't seem real. And to you guys, you weren't there, so you may not know what I'm saying, but it was such a God trip for sure. But back earlier this year, I was in Rodeo Houston, and we got to speak at the Cowboy Church there one Sunday, and kind of going back just a little bit, they come up to us at the beginning of Rodeo Houston. It's 20 perfs, 20 performances for the entire month of Houston, and there's three church services, there's three Sundays, and they ask us, hey, which Sunday would you guys like to speak at? And so we sat down, and me and the buddy that was getting to speak with, we sat down, and we're like, we'll pick this Sunday, you know, not really sure why, but we just decided to pick that Sunday, and we got to go speak, and there was a couple that walked up to me, and after we spoke, and they said, hey, you know, we just really felt God tugging on us to come introduce ourselves and to come to church today. We don't really know why we're here, but God told us to come for some reason. And obviously, I could tell they weren't Americans, let alone Texans. But I got to talk with them for a little bit, and they actually told us that they were from South Africa. And I was like, oh, that's crazy, you know. And remind you, this is March. We went on the trip in May. And I was like, that's crazy, you know. We're going to South Africa in a couple weeks. And I didn't tell them why, and they didn't really say what they were doing or who they were besides their names. And he said, well, maybe that's why God wanted us to come here today. So he handed me his card, and it was some kind of like African grain card. You know, it didn't say anything other than African grain and a picture, phone number, and email. So I was like, all right, you know, he said, reach out to us, and we'd love to see you guys and hang out with you guys. And for me, when people say, call me, or when I say, I'll call you, I'm sure it happens to you guys. Oh, yeah, I'll call you later. How often do we actually reach out and call? And so for me, someone giving me their card from South Africa, I'm like, this guy's from South Africa. There ain't no way I'll ever see him again, you know, no big deal, whatever. But anyways, I was like, well, maybe God's doing something. Maybe God's really going to show up. And so a few weeks before the trip, I sent the guy an email, said, hey, this is the plan. This is who we're going to be with. If you want to meet us, I don't really know what's going on, but call this guy. He's the one who's driving us 120 miles an hour everywhere we go. So he actually reached back out and said, sounds good. And he calls Rhino, our buddy, and he got it lined up to where the very last night we were spending in South Africa, he wanted me to come speak to a group of cowboys. South African cowboys. I was like, all right, you know. So let me tell you this. I'm with Cave Time Men's Ministry. There's four of us, and the other three live in Tulsa. They're not country. They wear boots because they want to be country, but they're not cowboys. They are straight up city men. The kid that's my age, it's funny because he wears boots and he has long hair, but he also wears skinny jeans. So I give him heck all the time about it. But here we are with the Cave Time guys in South Africa, and we go to this place where I'm going to speak to these South African cowboys, you know, and I actually warn the guys that I'm with. I say, hey, I don't know what we're getting into. You guys know how I am. I'm a cowboy, so there's going to be more cowboys, so just get ready. I'm sorry in advance because there's no telling what's going to happen. And it's funny because they were actually thinking the same thing too. And so we show up to the place where the guy was, and it's actually like a hotel or whatever, and I see the guy from Houston in the lobby, and I walk up to him and say, hey, man, you know, how are you doing? Good to see you again. We're excited about tonight, whatever. And he goes on to tell me, he says, you know, God told me 2 years ago to start a ministry, a men's ministry called Cave Men. And I said, well, yeah, all right, whatever, that's funny. He said, no, really, God told me 2 years ago to start a men's ministry and call it Cave Men. And I actually laughed. I was like, there's no way. Because I'm with a men's ministry called Cave Time. And I was like, how is this even possible? How's this even possible? And he didn't know about the Cave Time ministry, and I didn't know about his ministry or anything like that. So God sent Americans with a Cave Time ministry to South Africans with a caveman ministry who happened to be cowboys, and I was right in the middle of it. And God showed up so much that evening and just continued to show up, and I was truly in shock. Like, I literally told my buddy, I was like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and this is all going to be a dream. Like, there's no way none of this is possible. Because we flew 20 hours across the world with our men's ministry to meet another men's ministry who has the exact same mindset. It's a mindset of men being men. Because in this world today, We have a lot of men, but I'm sorry, guys. Not everybody is a man in here. You know, just because we have a certain chromosome doesn't truly make us what we need to be. And I might be blowing your minds here, but what I'm saying is, if you think you're a man just because you stand up to go to the bathroom doesn't truly make you a man. You're a man because of God. We need to be men of God. Not just a manly man. Here I am, Chuck Swisher. I'm a bullfighter. I'll do what I want. I don't need nobody's help. No. Here I am. Just Chuck Swisher. Nobody. I need as much help as I can get. And when we truly surrender ourselves like that, we truly say, God, I'm tired of fighting through this. Tired of trying to do it myself. I can't handle it anymore, God. When we truly surrender, that's when God is truly going to show up in our lives. And once you do that, I promise you, it's not going to get easier. Being a Christian, some people may look at Pastor Bo or Pastor Heather and say, oh, they're Christians, they pastors, they run a church, life is good. How good is life? You know, it's not easy being a Christian. But at the end of the day, I know that I've given it all up. It's not my life I'm living, because I gave my life to the Lord and I'm living for Him. And so as we go through that night and God just continues to show up and continues to show up, it reminded me that the God of South Africa and the God of Ireland is the same God as a Thousand Hills Church. He's the same God everywhere we go. But what matters is what you do with that. And I don't know if some of you guys were here last year when I spoke, but I talked about going out into the world, going out into your nation, Woodward, and being the person God called you to be. And so we could go to all these crazy places and do all this crazy stuff, but if we just keep God to ourselves, what good's that going to do for anybody else? Because at the end of the day, whenever we go to Walmart, we go to the Mexican restaurant, we go to wherever, and you look around and be like, how many of these people are actually going to heaven? How many of these people actually know Jesus? And if you can look around in a room and say, yes, they're all going to heaven, all right, maybe it's time to go to a different gas station. But until then, it's time to show up for God. It's time to be the person God has called you to be. And I'm not saying take your Bible everywhere and hit them over the head and say, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. But I'm saying use your ministry. Use your ranch. Use your dealership, your education, whatever it may be, to be the witness that God has called you to be. Because a lot of people want to be pastors. A lot of people want to own a church. A lot of people want to be evangelists. But at the end of the day, God doesn't need that. God doesn't need more pastors. What God needs is more churches. But think of this. I'm not saying church buildings. I'm saying churches. I'm saying you. God needs you, each and every one of you, to be the church. So every time you step foot outside of this church building, you can step on the devil the whole way. So I want to encourage you that whatever you're going through, wherever you are in life, or whatever's going on, God is preparing a way for you. A way that when it happens may seem unbelievable, but He's ahead of you with big plans. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So don't let the devil sneak in and tell you that you're nobody or that you're worthless or that God doesn't need you. That's the biggest lie in the world. And it gets us so easy too. Because I'll wake up in the morning and be like, I'll hear the devil whisper, God really doesn't need you. He doesn't need you today. I'm thinking, oh, all right, maybe he doesn't. But no, that's a lie from the devil. And in 1 Peter 5 through 8, or not 5 through 8, 5, 8, it says, the devil is working against you. He is walking around like a hungry lion with his mouth open. He is looking for someone to eat. Keep that up there for a second. It says, he is walking around like a hungry lion. Like a hungry, that's the key word in this whole scripture, is like a hungry lion. The devil is trying to be like a lion. But the only lion that I know is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that is Jesus Christ. And so the devil is trying to be like Jesus. Like. The devil is not Jesus. He just wants to be. But when we realize that the highest part of the devil, if you're taking notes, you should write this down or just remember it. When we realize that the highest part of the devil is under the lowest part of our feet, we're already stomping on his head. We're already stomping on his head. And I didn't give her this, but in John 10:10 it says the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I want you guys to continue to show up. If you can hear me, you've shown up today. I want you guys to continue to worship. If you're in here, you worshiped. Where is our worship leader at? Round of applause for her because she is phenomenal. Libby? Libby. Is it Olivia? Yeah, that's what I thought. So we showed up, we worshiped, and we prayed, and we got into the Word together. And the last stone of the five stones of cave time is being community. So it's so much easier as a bullfighter to fight bulls with two or three other guys. So with that being said, it's so much easier as a Christian to fight the devil with two or three other Christians. So I want you, just take a second, look around, and find a couple people that you may know that you can lock shields with, that you can buddy up with and say, hey, man, if I don't have your number, I want it. Whenever I'm going through something, I want to be able to reach out to somebody. I want to be able to ask for help. I'm not too manly to ask for help. I'm not too stubborn-headed to ask for help. I'm going to need help in this. I need help in this. So find a couple people that you can truly lock shields with, whether it be Pastor Heather or Pastor Bo or whoever it may be, the leaders of the church that are here. Find a couple people that you can truly come in with and fight the devil off together. And that way, whenever the devil shows up, he may be like, oh, I got him. Oh, I got her. She's by herself. But no, one click away, let me call my group of fighters. And they all show up, and you all stomp the devil's head together. You guys, you were created for greatness. Each and every one of you guys. Created for greatness. You were created for more. So I want you guys to live in that. I want you guys to realize that I wasn't just created to be a bullfighter. I wasn't just created to be a teacher. You were created for way more than that. So live in that. Because at the end of the day, it's not your life you're living anyway. It's his. That's really it, guys. Show up, pray, worship, get into the Word, and be in community. I want to pray you guys out and pray that you go kick the devil's butt today and every day. All right? So, God, we thank you for the men and women that showed up today, God. I pray that you instill in them your glory and your power, Father God, because it says where two or more are gathered, you are here. So, Lord, I pray that you show up more than ever into their lives today and you move more than ever in their lives today, that whenever they step foot outside, that the devil turns and runs because they have the power of you in them. Father God, I pray that you just be with Pastor Bo, God. I pray that you just continue to heal him, continue to move in this church, continue to be the God, our God. Lord, we love you. Father, if there's someone in here that hasn't surrendered their life to you, that hasn't said, God, I'm done. I can't handle it anymore. God, I can't take it by myself. God, I pray that if that person is in here, they step out and they speak to Pastor Heather, one of the pastors here, one of the leaders here. God, I pray that you just bring them out. Father God, I pray that you let these people be the people that they were created to be, the teachers of God, the men of God, the women of God, the cattlemen of God, the salesmen of God. Father, I pray that you let this church go out and change this city and lock shields with other churches and let them join in on the fight against the devil, because we are stomping on the devil's head already. God, and I pray that we just get to continue to stomp him into the dirt further and further, more every day. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Thanks for joining us at Thousand Hills. We pray your life was changed by what you heard. If you've made a commitment today, contact us at 580-216-6427 or check out our website at thousandhillsranch.church, where you can give your tithes. Thank you again, and have a great week.